Well, I want to open up with a message today that I'm going to just say it now, and I'll probably say this with my next five messages and throughout the year, whatever, but I think is one of the most important messages that we can hear and get. And I think if we get this, it changes everything. Just say everything. It changes everything. So just a real quick survey. How many of you still have your Christmas up? Oh, a few of you. Wow. Okay. I'm one of those people that, you know, Christmas, obviously it's Thursday and Friday. I said to say, I need to go into the church and get rid of anything Christmas related just because in my mind it's done. It's over. Let's move on. We got to get beyond this. And so as I was here doing that, you know, we often pray for our church, our faith community, of what the Lord is saying to us, because obviously as a church, we want to be led by God, not human, and our own emotions and our own ways. So we said, Lord, what would you say to us in this new year? And what I really, really felt strong and impressed on was what I want to share with you today. And it's a little bit different because typically in the new year, I would come and say, here's the word for our church in this season and what God's saying to us in this season. And then we're going to go a little bit of a different route today, but I really, really want you to lean in. If you get one message so far this year, let it be this one. Did you get that? Because it's the only one you've heard so far, probably. What I want us to look at is hearing from God for ourselves. What I have found is sometimes the biggest challenge isn't knowing whether or not God is with you. Because often we know God's with me. Is God with you? Yep, he's with me, right? But sometimes the challenge is knowing how God's getting us from point A to point B. Because sometimes in the course of your life, God will reassign, and I want you to hear this, will reassign how you get there, right? You thought you looked at your calling on your life. You had a mental picture of your ministry. You had a mental picture of what your career would look like or be like, or you pictured in your mind how your family was going to be, or the dream. And it didn't always happen that way. Like when Sarah and I first got married, our first Christmas together, she, more than me, had in her mind this beautiful, romantic first Christmas as husband and wife. And we were going to decorate the tree, and it was going to be the best day ever. And she had cookies in the oven and Hallmark movies on the TV, and she got our first Christmas together ornament, and the stage was set for a beautiful year. And I started to put lights on our Christmas tree, and I did it how I do it. And if you're like me and the tree's in the corner, why wrap lights the whole way around the thing if it's in the corner? But I did not know about light depth in a tree. I didn't know, well, you have to bury some and they have to be in the back because you need the depth. I didn't know about anything. You just put the lights around the part of the tree that you see and it's done. So I start wrapping the lights and I start from the bottom, and she said, what are you doing? Putting lights on the tree. Well, that's not how you do it. And can I tell you the magical vision that she had for our first Christmas together did not happen that way at all. The ornament that says first Christmas together ended up getting hung on the back of the tree where nobody would see it because we weren't talking the rest of the time that we were decorating the tree. And that year, our tree fell over like three times that year. So the whole year was just a disaster. But I say that to say is sometimes in life, right, we approach life and we have a mental picture, a vision. This is how my marriage is going to be. This is my career. This is what it's going to look like. Or this is how it's going to map out for me. And then suddenly you get there and it's not how you envisioned it. Because oftentimes when God's leading you, he will lead you in the most strangest directions. When you're like, God, you told me to go north, but for some reason you're telling me to go, you're leading me south. It doesn't make sense. Has anybody else had God lead them like that, where you're like, it just doesn't make sense? But what I want us to see today is that God will often repurpose the vehicle of how we get there without changing the promise. He'll change the mode or the method of how we get there, but he'll never change the promise. The best way I can describe it is if you think of it this way, you know, in a football game, there's a coach on the sidelines and he's yelling out or giving signals for whatever play is supposed to happen next, right? And the quarterback's, you know, communicating the play and they all got to be on the same team in order for them to all get the destination right, which is the ball at the end of the field. But what would happen if the players couldn't hear the calls being made by the coach? It would be total chaos. Nobody would know, wait, where are we going? Right, because even sometimes in a sports play, they will fake their opponents out by running backwards in retreat to only surprise them by going around and forward. On paper, that doesn't make sense. My goal is there, but I'm running here. But there was a coach on the sideline that says, but here's what I need you to do. You don't have to understand it. Just play your part. Right? So the error would be is if we're missing the calls being made by the coach on the sidelines. What would happen is the players would run. They could just be running in the wrong direction. And I think that's how many believers find themselves living today, full of sincerity. It's not that we don't want to do right. It's not that we don't want to serve God. Full of effort. I'm giving it everything that I have. Full of activity. We are busier than we have ever been. But not always aligned with the will of God. Not following the play that he's called for this particular season. The heart of this message that I want you to walk away with today is this, is that God is not trying to keep you in the dark. He wants to know you. He wants to have personal relationship with you. Let me show you the scripture in John 10, 27. And it says, my sheep listen to my voice. First key element, listen. We got to listen. I know them and they follow me. So what do the followers of God do? We listen to his voice and we follow him. Do you know a standard survey of the church, if you ask the church, how many of you hear from God? Most people would say, I don't know how to hear from God. And how do I know that? Because the biggest question I get as a pastor is how do I hear from God? Or how do I know this is God? And it almost, it seems like in church, it's like God is so far above and removed that if somehow, some way, we could maybe try to figure out the plan of God and convince God to show us a small part of his plan, and then maybe we would be okay for a little bit. But that's not what the scripture said. He said, my sheep are close to a shepherd. They listen to my voice and they know me and they follow me. So what I want you to know today is that God is not holding out on you. He's not, you know, playing a game of hide and seek saying, well, find me if you can. It's not going to be easy. I'm God. I've got some pretty good hiding spots. And if you can maybe find me, then maybe I'll show you the plan for your life. That's not God. What does the Bible say? It said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door would be open. Seek and you would find. So the heart and nature of God is that you would receive and find, and that the door would be open to you. That's not a God holding out. That's a God saying, come, I have a plan. I have a purpose. I want to talk to you. I want to reveal some things to you. So I want you to know today that God really, really, really wants to talk to you. And some of you are going to hear that and say, not me. Yeah. He wants to talk to the super Christians. The ones who, you know, have it down all, you know, the ones that have it all together, the ones that know, you know the scriptures in and out. That's who he wants to talk to. Or God only really wants to talk to the prophets, you know, those prophets that come into church and they just see into the supernatural, or you know, pastors. They're the ones that God talks to, or the spiritually elite somehow. But can I tell you, that is a lie of the enemy. It didn't say, the scripture didn't say, my pastors know my voice. My prophets know my voice. It said, my sheep, my followers, my disciples. That's you. That's me. So I want us to know, leaning into this new year, is that God's heart above it all is that he would be able to communicate to you his plan and his purpose and his will for your life. That you wouldn't be walking almost in a mystery, hoping that you're in the will of God. Listen, relationship requires communication. Can anybody testify to that? The gospel is not merely that we are forgiven, right? We know that's a part of it, but the gospel is that you and I were brought near to God, that we would be seated, the Bible says, in heavenly places with him. So spiritually, we are no longer distant from God, we are near. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said that the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the common people was ripped from top to bottom. What does that symbolize to us? Is that no longer was it God hidden, but now it was God available to all. The power of the New Testament church is that God is no longer hidden behind a veil in a temple somewhere that only the priest can go into once a year. The power of the New Testament church is that the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells mightily on the inside of you in this moment. The same thundering voice that spoke and caused the universe to explode and to be and light happen. It's the same voice that wants to speak to you right now in this very moment, that you're not distant, but salvation, you were brought near. God isn't silent. He isn't distant, and he's not playing games with your future. He has plans, and he's not ashamed of those plans for you. Listen to a few of these scriptures. We know this one a lot. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good." What does that say to me? That says that we have a God who has pre-thought about you. It's not like you woke up today and God said, oh, I didn't expect them to be alive. Surprise to me, what can I do with them? Aren't you glad about that? But no, I got a plan. And even when you don't know it, I've got a plan. And guess what? That plan is for you, and that plan is good, and that plan is to give you a future. You're not here by accident. You're not a surprise to God. You were designed for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece, created so that we can do the good things he planned. So if God has a plan and he made you for that purpose, it only makes sense that God would also provide guidance for you to fulfill that plan. Because what type of God would say, I've created you for a purpose and I have a plan for your life, but I'm not gonna tell you what it is. No. He says, I've got a plan and I got a purpose and I wanna speak to you. I wanna guide you. That's why John 16:13 says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. The power of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church is not just to give us goosebumps and have some good Holy Ghost services, but it's to be a daily guide, leading us and guiding us in all truth. You have a guide sent from heaven to help assist you in the everyday affairs of your life. Don't say you don't know what to do. Don't say God's not speaking to you. Don't say you can't hear him. He's saying, I want more than anything to speak to you. I sent my Holy Spirit down to be a guide to you. Come on, somebody. So the problem isn't God's volume, right? It's not that God's not speaking. I just laid that out. God is speaking and he wants to speak. Often the problem is our posture. A lot of people say God isn't speaking, but the real deep issue is that we're too rushed to hear him speaking. Or it's too loud up here to hear him speaking. Or we've crowded ourselves with other voices, so many other opinions, that now we don't know which way is up, which way is down, which way to go, because when we got into a problem or we needed a solution, we ran to mama and we ran to sister and we ran to grandmother and we ran to the neighbor. And now we've got all these other voices and now we're saying, oh, wait, what should I do? And we've never went to the one who said, by the way, I got a plan and I want to tell you about it. Come on. Or we don't hear God. And listen to this, because we're trying to control the outcome. It'll be how I want it to be. It'll look how I want it to look, and I'll get there when I want to get there. So therefore, God, thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't know, we may not say that verbally to God, like, hey, by the way. But when we don't acknowledge him in all of our ways, like scripture says, you know what we're doing without saying it? Thanks, but no thanks. When we don't bring everything to him in prayer, what are we saying? Thanks, I've got this. I'm good. I've often said God is a gentleman and he forces himself upon no one. That's why he said, ask, knock, seek, initiate on your part, and I will always meet you there. Listen, one of the great patterns in scripture is that God often speaks with clarity, listen, to people who are yielded. People who are yielded. You know what we want? We want God to say, all right, I'm gonna tell you how it's going to be and how it's gonna play out and how it's mapped out, and then you tell me yes or no. Wouldn't that be nice? All right, God, you show me the plan for my life and everything I'm gonna walk through and all the storms, and I'll tell you yes or no. That's not how God works. He says, you give me your yes, and I'll give you the plan. And actually, he doesn't usually give us the plan. He gives us the next step in the plan. And he just says, I do this, do that. And you're like, it doesn't make sense. And he's like, do I have your yes? So God often speaks to a heart that is yielded, not a heart that is controlled. And I know for some of you, you're like a free spirit and you're like, woo, that's great, that's wonderful. Wherever the spirit leads, I'm there. But for others of us, it's like, well, that doesn't meet my list. And what is Thursday gonna look like? I don't know, I need to know. Any other control freaks in the room like me, that you're just like, come on, God. But the power is when we come to God and we say, you have my yes. When I don't know, I can't comprehend, I don't see, but you have my yes. That is when God will often start speaking. The scripture says that God wasn't in the fireworks, he wasn't in the storm, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the earthquake, but he was in the still, small, gentle whisper. Why does it say that? Because a whisper prophesies closeness. It requires stillness and it requires attention. We look for God in the earthquake and we search for him in the whirlwind, but he says, it's when you get still, when you get quiet, and when you get close, that you hear me. So if you want to hear God clearly, listen, you don't need a new method. You just need a new posture. See, God is like a father. He wants to talk to his children. Sons and daughters grow in discernment by time spent. We go to a restaurant. I can tell the waitress right from the top, here's what everybody wants to drink, because we spent time. You know, it used to be warfare in our car whenever we would go to Dunkin' Donuts, because at one time, all of my children would start screaming out what they want. And I filter it down because we're in church, but I finally got to a place where I said, please be quiet and sit down, thank you. Because I've spent time, I know that Loretta wants a chocolate with sprinkles, Judy wants a pink with sprinkles, Bob wants a chocolate with sprinkles, but Sarah says he can't have a chocolate with sprinkles because he gets it everywhere, so he's gotta get a vanilla with sprinkles. All right, so now when we arrive, I tell everyone, sit down and shut up. I already know. I know, why? it's not even that they had to tell me, it's because there's proximity and relationship. Like, my kids don't come down on a Tuesday morning and say, "Father, oh, my majestic Father, what is thy will for me today? What is it that I shall do?" I'm gonna say, "Well, go upstairs, get dressed, brush your teeth, eat breakfast, get your shoes on, and go get in the car. It's Tuesday. You have school." So what I'm saying is, because out of proximity of relationship, I no longer have to communicate the daily task, because out of relationship, they know my expectation for the season. It's a school day. You're going to school. Prepare for school. Are you following what I'm saying? So if a strange kid came into my house, they would be like, "Hey, what do we do on Tuesdays?" But out of proximity of relationship, my kids don't have to ask me that question. So what I'm saying, the more time we spend with God, the less we have to rely on God of, "Well, I need you to get up. I need you to," and we just begin to know, well, this is the season that we're in. This is what God is saying. This is how I should respond out of relationship with God. You don't learn a person's voice by primarily reading a textbook. You learn it by relationship, by being around them. That's why, you know, in American culture, we love our celebrities. We love our movie stars. And we got some strange fruits, nuts, and flakes who know a little bit too much about their favorite movie star or their favorite actor or actress, right? They can tell you what they wore at the premiere 2 weeks ago. They can tell you what their favorite food is, all because they read it somewhere. But the reality is, if they ever walked up to that person and met them face to face, they would have to say, "Hi, my name is." Why? Because they can know everything about that person based off of what they've read, but they've never entered into relationship. That's why Jesus said that there will be many who will stand before the Father on that day of judgment, and they will say, "Well, we did this and we did that," and he will say, "But I never knew you." So what I'm saying is, coming to church is a piece. Reading your Bible is a piece. Prayer is a piece. But as long as we treat God like some distant movie star where we're just trying to gather information about who he is, we will always feel distant from him. But when we have personal relationship with God, like a father to a child, it changes everything. Listen, if we only go to God when we have an emergency, we will always struggle to hear his voice in everyday moments. So we have to cultivate daily relationship with God. So I want to give you quickly some practical ways for us to hear God. Because again, as you know, normally we would come as a church and say, "Here's God's word for us as a church community." And we may do that yet this year. But I really felt impressed in my heart that have you entered into 2026 and said, "Lord, what is it that you want to say to me in this new year?" Now, I don't want you to get caught up on this, because some people are like, "Well, Pastor, I know it's the American New Year, but it's not the Jewish calendar New Year, so it's not really a new year in God." Listen, I don't care if it's American New Year, a Jewish calendar New Year. I don't care if it's your birthday and you just want to celebrate. I think anytime there's a transition in seasons of life, it's always prudent to stop and pause and say, "Lord, in this next season, this year, this new family member, this whatever it is, a new calendar year, new Jewish year, is there anything in me that I need to hear, that I need to align, that I need to know? Where are you taking me? Where are you leading me?" So don't get caught up on that, right? So I want to give you some practical things to help us. Number one is scripture. Scripture is the clearest anchor that we have. God will speak personally to you through what he's already spoken eternally. That's why Matthew 4:4, Jesus said this: "People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." If you want personal direction, do not neglect reading scripture. It changes everything. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've read a scripture that I've read a million times, and suddenly it comes alive in a season in a way I've never seen it before. That's why he calls it the living word. One of the greatest barriers I think many believers have in their faith is this mindset that says, "I've heard this before." Well, yeah, we've been preaching from the same book for 2,000 years or more. You probably have heard this before, and I probably have preached this before. But today, if we approach it, not with a mindset, oh, I heard this before, here, God, here. No, 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 with Lord, what do you want to say to me in this? Lord, let your word come alive. Suddenly, I can read a scripture that I've known since I was a kid, and it speaks. I'll never forget sitting in my bedroom years ago and going through a situation, and you know, I probably have studied and read and preached the story of the Israelites leaving the Egyptian bondage more than any other story in my life. I don't know why I'm always drawn to it. I love it. There's so much to dig out from it. It's one of my favorite stories. And I never forget going through a season in life, really questioning God. And I remember reading it, and suddenly a few words jumped off the page to me. And it was when God told Moses, move forward in the strength you have. Pharaoh was chasing them. And God said, move forward in the strength that you have. And it was a word that came alive. And God said, don't worry about the past that's pursuing you. Move forward. And it freed me. I didn't know how God was going to take care of it. I didn't know what God was going to do, but I knew what he said to me. Move forward. Don't worry about Pharaoh. Here's what I've called you to do. And a word can come alive in a season and change everything in your life. So do not neglect reading the word of God. The second way that he will often speak to us is by that inward witness or that peace, that restraint or that prompting. You know, I've often said the Holy Spirit isn't just to give us goosebumps. I question maybe I shouldn't say this, but I question the reality of somebody saying that they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God if the Holy Spirit's never told them to sit down and shut up ever in their life. Because I don't know about you, but the more the Spirit of God that I have, the more he tells me, don't say that. Mind your business. Stay out of that. Don't gossip. Leave them alone. Fix your attitude. And it's like the further I walk with God, you'd think you'd like, well, I've arrived. You know, I've been walking with God all my life. No, no, it's like the more you get, the more he digs in and says, I don't like that. Go apologize, repent and make that right with them. So if the Holy Spirit has only ever given you goosebumps, then I would say you might not be listening, because a majority of the time, the Holy Spirit, that guide, will tell you don't take the job. See, we like the word that says he's going to open new doors. You're going to get a raise and a promotion. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will come in and say, take the job that's paying less, that doesn't have the clout. And you're like, but God, it doesn't make sense. Why would you have me do that? I don't know. But he does. My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow. Are you with me? So that inward peace, that restraint, that prompting. Again, for all who are led by the Spirit are the children of God, Romans 8:14. Who are the children of God? All who are led. How do you know if you're a child of God? You're led by the Spirit of God. Then there's God's kind of nudge of direction. Isaiah 30:21 says, your own ears will hear him. This is the way that you should go. Now, I call this a nudge of direction because sometimes people come into the church and you can hear somebody that maybe is overly spiritual. And I don't want to categorize anybody like that, but they just walk around and say, I heard God, I heard God, I heard God, I heard God. And this is what God said. And this is what God said. And you're like, wow, because I don't know. You know, I often tell people, and you know, they come and say, Pastor, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. And I always tell them, listen, I can't tell you God's plan for your life. I'm trying to figure out his plan for my life. I'm trying to figure what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. I can't pretend like I heard God on everybody's situation in the room. If you're gonna tell me you heard God, I'm gonna trust you, right? But maybe you're wrong, and if not, we're big enough to get us back where we need to go. Right, so sometimes we gotta be careful that we don't just always run to God told me, God told me, God told me, God told me. Because what happens is when we're wrong and then people are like, I don't know if that was God. And we like to mask it as, well, I'm trying to get my own way and I'll disguise it as God told me. Here's what I often say. Here's what I feel like God is saying, or here's what I believe God is leading me to. Because anytime you have the divine communicating to human nature, there's always a possibility for mistake. Like maybe you did take the job that paid less and then didn't offer you any promotion beyond that, and it was a mistake. Well, let's not just say, well, God told me to do it. Let's just say, you know what? I heard wrong. But God's big enough to get me where I need to go, because that's the kind of God we serve. That even when I miss it, if I trust him, he'll get me back to where I need to go. So I always tell people, don't just, you know, maybe you feel like you've heard pretty clearly, but God usually doesn't wake you up in the morning and say, good morning to you. Here's the plan. I need you to get up and I need you to be out of work by 3:30 p.m. because I'm going to send you to the store and you're going to meet somebody there. When you meet them, they're going to have blue hair, you know, whatever. Like, it usually doesn't happen that way. It's a nudge. It's an inward knowing that I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't set right with me. I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. So I often just say, don't be overly confident. And I know it's like weird to hear a pastor say, don't be overly confident that you've heard God. I'm saying leave room in your witness to people that I could have missed it, right? I heard a preacher one time who said a prophet came up to him in a service and gave him a word that his wife was going, he was single at the time, that his wife was going to have long red hair and her name was going to start with a D. And, you know, he was like, wow, this is great. But as he's preaching this, he just said, oh, by the way, I want to tell you, my wife's name is Sheila. She has short brown hair. It's never been red a day in her life. So did he marry the wrong person or did the prophet lie? The prophet lied. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not, you know, again, we hear stuff wrong. We, you know, we're filtering through a glass rather dimly. So just know that, right? And then another way we should hear God is from wise counsel and confirmation. God confirms direction through mature believers. He confirms direction through mature believers. And let me say this to you. Not your friend who you're trying to process whether God's called you to start a business or not, but your friend has just as bad as credit as you do, has never owned a business a day in their life, and has never really done anything with their life, and you're running to them saying, here's what I think God's telling me to do. Well, you got the blind leading the blind. But go to somebody in the house of God, a trusted friend, somebody, I always say this, somebody who's been where you want to go. And submit to them, say, hey, I feel like God's leading me to start a business. And I don't be too arrogant. I don't 100% know what that looks like. And allow somebody like that to speak into your life to confirm, hey, if this is what God's saying, here are your next steps. Here's what you should do to make it a success. Sometimes God gives us a picture and gives us a vision, but it's not for now. It's for later. Like, do you remember Joseph in his coat of many colors? His problem was he ran and told the wrong people about his God dream. God told me, you're going to bow to me. You want to make a bet? I'll throw you in a pit and sell you as a slave. Because some things should have just been hidden in his heart and allow God to work it out in right timing. Some things he could have went to his father and told the dream and avoided all that trouble. Are you with me? So we got to be careful when God starts speaking to us. And then lastly, a prophetic encouragement. God still gives prophetic words through prophets, through people who, it's a gift. The Bible talks about there's the gift of prophecy, the gifts of the word of knowledge, that there are some people who have a unique spirit-inspired, heaven-inspired gifting to see certain things and to speak certain things. But here's what I want to say to that is, especially in the charismatic church, words of knowledge or words of prophecy given by someone else, you should always be weighed and not worshiped. Weighed and not worshiped, because many times, especially, you know, in charismatic churches, we will run from conference to conference to conference because I need a word, I need a word, I need a word, I need a word. I don't see that anywhere in the New Testament where, like, you know, people were running from the Galatians church to the Roman church to the Corinthians church trying to find the next word. Do you know what was happening in the New Testament church? God was speaking to them individually. They were having dreams. They were having visions. They were hearing the voice of God. God was coming alive on the inside of them. Are you with me? So, you know, is there anything wrong with receiving a prophetic word from someone who flows that way? Absolutely not. But it should always be weighed. And what I mean by weighed, it should always be, does this confirm something that God already spoke to me? If it doesn't, then I say we put it on a shelf. And if it comes back years later and you can say, hey, I remember when a prophet told me that, look, it came to pass. Wonderful. But what I won't do is I won't pursue what God hasn't already told me just because somebody else said it to me. people in the church have gotten themselves in so many problems listening to a prophet who may have had the best of intentions, but heard wrong or spoke wrong or saw wrong, and somebody's ruined their life as a result of it because they didn't say, you know what, the same God that is speaking to them is the same God that's in me. And if God, you really want this, and I trust that you are going to speak it to me, confirm it to me, that I know in my knower. Are you with me today? So these are all ways that God can speak to us, all good, all powerful, but they all have to be filtered. So really quickly, I need to land the ship because that's where we're going. Land the ship here is, I want to close with this story in Acts 27. Paul finds himself on a boat, on a ship, and they're traveling, and suddenly this storm starts to brew, as many times in the Bible, people get on boats. It's like, if I was in Bible days, I just wouldn't get on a boat. It just seems like anytime God's people are on a boat, there's a storm. So get the clue, stay off boats. Anyway, I thought that was a lot funnier than you did, obviously, but anyway, they're on this boat, a storm starts coming in. He's in the boat with a lot of people. They start to get terrified, and he stands up and says something powerful in Acts 27, verse 22. And here's what it says. This is Paul speaking. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. This was a word of prophecy from Paul to the people on the boat. Before the ship sank, he spoke to them, none of you will die, but the ship is going to sink. Not the prophetic word I was hoping for. Not what I wanted God to speak to me. I wanted him to say, like the Egyptians, you're going to come out laden with the wealth of the Israelites, the wealth of the Egyptians. Like, that's the word I want. Not that, hey, everything's going to sink and drown around you, but don't worry, you're not going to die. I'm barely going to make it, you know, but I'm not going to die, right? But catch that. Before the ship sank, God released a word. That word was designed to comfort them and give them strength and endure what was coming next. He told them what was going to happen. Don't worry. You're not going to die. The ship is going down, but you're going to make it. The company may close, but you're going to make it. The doctor may come with a bad report, but you're going to make it. Come on, somebody. When you can hear the word of God before the storm ever arrives, that's what the word is for. I've preached this 1,000 times, but you know, when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, how many of you know it's impossible to walk on the water? I don't know if you ever tried it, but it can't be done. But what I believe happened is he didn't walk on the water, he walked on the word. Why? When he looked at Jesus, Jesus said, come. Do you know what happened? By faith, he didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word that Jesus released to him. And Jesus said, come. I believe an invisible plank went out to Peter, and that enabled him to do the impossible. Why? Because Jesus released a word to him that empowered him to do what he otherwise was not able to do. A word in your life in the right season changes everything. A word from God in the right season of your life opens doors, puts out planks, causes you to do what others have said can't be done. It releases heaven over you. It encourages you. It strengthens you. It provides healing to you. So none of you will lose your lives, but the ship will go down. What I think was so interesting about this story is sometimes the thing you thought, because remember I talked about in the beginning when we opened this sermon, is that sometimes God wants to change the mode of transportation in a different season. Sometimes the thing that you thought would carry you to the promise was never the destination. It was simply transportation. The ship's purpose in this story was in their mind to get them to point A and to point B. But it was never their destination. So when the ship begins to fall apart, and we can see this, Acts 27:44, it says this, others held on to the planks or debris from the broken ship. What was the word? The ship is going down. So if the word was that, listen, the ship is going to sink, why would you hold on to something that God already said is sinking? What it prophesied was their inability to hold on to the word of God, and instead they held on to what they knew because they thought the ship was the destination. And when they got to a place where God said, I don't need the ship anymore, I need to get you to this island. Because when they would get to this island, Paul would be bitten by a snake. He would shake the snake off. And as a result of that miracle, because he didn't die from the snake bite, a massive revival broke out on the island and everybody came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So God looked at an island that needs saving and he looked at Paul on the ship and he says, I don't need the ship. I need you on the island. So for the sake of getting you where I need you to go, I'm gonna take what you thought was the destination, the ship. I'm gonna break it apart and sink it because I don't need you on the boat. I need you on the island. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Because see, you thought you did something bad and that's why everything fell apart. But God said, no, no, no. I'm just pivoting you for a minute. I'm just realigning you for a minute. I'm just shifting you for a minute because that job was never meant to be your source. It was to get you from point A to point B. That car was never meant to be your source. That relationship was never meant to be your source. So if it leaves your life, it means that God looked at it and said, I don't need it. You don't need it. So don't hang on to what I've tossed out in a previous season. Some of us are still clinging to old methods and old systems and what we used to know and old relationships and the way we've done it before and our past job experience. And we are locked into something that God said it was never meant to be your destination. It was meant to be a stepping stone. Come off of it. Let the ship go. Let the pieces go. And you can do that with confidence when you have a word. The ship is sinking, but you're not gonna lose your life. Some of us are holding on to what we planned and it hasn't worked out how we anticipated and we don't know how to let that go. We're holding on to what we have and God's saying, I need you to release it. I've got something better. There's more on the other side of this. So in closing, and you can go ahead and stand to your feet, but I'm saying all that to say is a word in due season changes everything. A word will keep you. When the doctors come knocking and say, don't look good. I remember what he said to me. What he said first. When the bank says you're gonna lose the house, you can go back and say, no, I remember what he said to me. I remember like David, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I don't know what his plan is and I don't know what he's doing, but I know what he said to me. I thought that person was the one. I thought they were the answer. I thought they were my significant other half and it just shattered on the ground and I don't know what to do and I don't know how to move on and I keep coming back to the scraps of that broken relationship. But God says that's been removed from your life because it was never your destination point. Let it go, move on because you're in a new season. It's a new day and I have something beyond this for you because the ship is sinking. But we only know this and we only get this if we have the ability, all of that to say, to hear God. So I want you to leave this room today knowing he's not holding out on you. Nothing is a surprise to him. He wants to pre-warn you. He wants to pre-give you hope. He wants to pre-give you a word. The question isn't, is God speaking? It's, are you listening? I want you to know this today. God doesn't just speak to pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists. He talks to his sheep. He talks to his kids. He talks to his church. So instead of coming this morning and saying, here's the word for our church this year, I want to challenge you to leave this room today. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, don't let too much time pass by. Husbands and wives, you can do this together. Get alone with God. Don't bring in your agenda. Don't bring in, here's the five things I need this year. Make it happen for me. You're my little genie. And quiet yourself before him. And say, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me for this year? You might say, well, I don't know if I'm really hearing anything. What I encourage people to do when you're starting, just start writing whatever you hear. Simple words, simple phrases, just write it down. Oftentimes when you come back and read that, you'll get a pretty good understanding of what God was trying to speak to you. It's probably not going to be an audible, loud voice. Like the word that I got for this year for me personally was the word pivot. I don't know what it means yet. I'll figure it out this year. But it was something I kept hearing the word and it kept sticking out to me from other people, other places. And when I went into the prayer closet and I said, Lord, what is it you want to say to me this year? That word came up in my spirit. And it's like, you know, I've heard that six times. It confirmed what I had already been hearing. So I want you, I don't know what 2026 holds for you. I know he has a plan. I know he's good, but it doesn't mean there won't be storms. It doesn't mean there won't be trials. And it doesn't mean there's not going to be incredible breakthroughs on the other side of your obedience, but we only get it if we can hear him. So don't rush beyond this sermon today. Don't leave and just let it leave your mind. He wants to talk to you. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you today. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your words, what you say to us, illuminates our direction. So Lord, where we have relied on our own strength and our own might and our own power, we say we're sorry and we repent. And Lord, we won't go into this year with our own agenda and our own plans, but we're gonna pause for a minute. And we're gonna say, God, speak to us, speak to me, speak to us as a family, speak to us as a couple, speak to us individually. Whether it's one word, whether it's one sentence that you would have us know. We'll write it down and we'll keep it close to our heart because when the ship sinks, we know we have a word in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You receive that today? Come on, do you receive that today? Do you know God's speaking to you? And he's got a word for you, amen. Be blessed, go with God, have an amazing week.